The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Julian Pensavalle.
Patrick Hines. Ba-da-da.
I feel like we were both there today.
Really? I felt a little like I tripped over my throat, or something. A little pitchy, dog.
Girl, before we get to the show, just, you know, we're this close to being done with The Staircase on Patreon.
You know?
You guys.
It's been a pretty wild ride.
How about that Diane Fanning interview?
Yeah, I learned a lot of things. I learned that she's not Dakota Fanning.
That's in her Wikipedia page.
I don't know if like she was, that feels like a friend wrote that in her Wikipedia page, right? Like that's a little too personal.
I was re-listening to the interview the other day because people have been going berserk about
it. Yeah,
yeah. Diane has a lot of feelings. Our listeners have a lot of feelings about Diane's feelings. Uh-huh. But I was like, why wasn't Diane like on the prosecution team? She knows exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
who was involved? Who covered it up? Where the murder weapon was?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Like
how blood got everywhere. Exactly. Like she knows everything.
She really does. She talked to everybody.
Yeah,
she talked to like the DA's mother. She talked to the sisters, Candace and Lori.
I mean,
it's insane. It's a great interview.
Yeah, and we like confronted her about the owl theory.
We did.
Confronted is a strong word, actually.
I will say though, like we asked tough questions. I was proud of us.
Yeah, and the thing is, we weren't together.
Yeah.
So we just sort of had to like communicate with our voices to each other. So, yeah.
Anyway, you guys, if you want to check out our interview with Diane Fanning, all of our Staircase coverage, all of our Serial coverage, everything else, patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or truecrimeobsessed.com and click on the Patreon link.
Yeah.
The other thing, you guys, in the next couple of weeks, tickets for our new upcoming live shows are going on sale, and there's going to be a 3-day pre-sale for Patreon.
Yeah.
The first to go on sale is going to be our live show in New York City for Pride next year. We're covering the Stonewall documentary, you guys.
Man.
It's going to be bonkers. So if you want first dibs to those, remember our last show sold out in 2 hours. Get on the bandwagon and support us.
It's so crazy.
I know.
We're going to hang out with all of our best friends. Can't wait.
Girl, I really wanted my head to spin around backwards on my shoulders and then ask you what we were talking about today.
Let me tell you, all this movie made me want to do is, one, talk about it and just watch The Exorcist.
This was a shitty movie.
And The Exorcist is not. I know. So like... And it's from the director of The Exorcist. And believe me, girl, he'll tell you. We'll get into it. But I wanted to tell you something about The Exorcist.
Tell me now.
Okay, so my parents, they were like teenagers when this movie came out. They were like 17 or something when The Exorcist came out. And my parents saw everything in the movie theater back in the 70s in New York, which is like a cool time to be seeing things in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like a ton of actual iconic movies came out.
Totally.
They have this story, and I believe it, that The Exorcist, at the time when it came out, and still to this day, was so scary that people were getting up and like running out of the theater for their lives. That's how scared they were.
God.
People were like, nope, 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 I'm out, and running out.
Like Blair Witch style.
Like they were just like, I'm not doing this. Like,
wow.
Like people crying. Like it scared the shit out of people.
That's crazy.
Isn't that so crazy?
One other thing I want to tell you guys is that there is a 5-part article from a magazine called Strange Magazine. I don't know if I've never heard of it other than this.
Okay.
I don't know. When you look at it on the internet, it looks really old and antiquated. So like maybe it was like an internet magazine way back in the day.
Maybe it was a zine.
Exactly. But the article is called The Haunted Boy by Mark Obsasnik, I think is how you say his name. I have read this article probably 15 times in my life.
What?
It's his investigation about the true story behind The Exorcist.
Yes.
He tracks down the family, the boy, the house, the whole deal, and writes this article about he actually gets the guy on the phone. Anyway, I'm obsessed with this article. Just today, I reached out to Mark. He's down for an interview.
Shut up! Yeah.
So I'm going to post the link to the article in the Facebook group. Again, it's called The Haunted Boy And the author is going to join us like in the next couple weeks for like a super Halloween-y story behind the story of The Exorcist. So girl, what are we actually scream talking about today?
Or monstrous shriek, as my closed captions called it. The Devil and Father Amor.
Did it really say monstrous
shriek? Monstrous shriek and then growling later. We'll get to the growling.
You guys, this movie is so dumb.
At the time I directed the film, The Exorcist, I had never seen the real thing. But on May 1st, 2016, Father Gabriella Amort, the Vatican exorcist, invited me to witness an actual exorcism. I had no idea what to expect.
The more you open yourself to thinking about this stuff, and you start feeling about this stuff, the more room you allow for the supernatural power of evil to come in.
If we don't understand it, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
There's a dimension to this world that is strange and beyond our capacity to control.
Can I know how to treat it?
No.
So something is happening to her, it's clear. But maybe she puts into it the religious context in which she grew up. Because they believe, obviously, they know what's wrong with her. She's possessed by the devil.
I think that's a very dangerous thing, getting in close quarters with the devil. People like Father Amorth maybe can do that. I would never dare to do it.
This is not fiction. It's different from all the movies. And I was there to film it.
So it's from the director of The Exorcist, which is like the true crime here is just like a crime against film royalty. Like, The Exorcist is so good.
It's so, you guys, the movie is directed by, what's his name?
William Friedkin,
who directed The Exorcist. He is our narrator. He does the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries walk and talk, where it's like, you know how like in the 90s, the Unsolved Mysteries would always open with like Robert Stack leaning against a lamppost?
Which is a shout out to that iconic scene in The Exorcist, where the guy walks up and he's next to the lamppost.
That's so funny.
Which actually, another thing, now I don't know when I became an expert on The Exorcist, but that was so beautifully and perfectly shot that they just used a still frame from the movie for the poster. When does that happen?
That's so crazy. But this is what this guy does, but he does it so badly. He's like shooting this on a camcorder.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. And he says no less than 27 times that he's the director of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get to it because I call him out every single time. And we just like dive right in and immediately you're like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
This is just, this is bananas.
Yeah. And honestly, because so much of this is him talking about making The Exorcist in the beginning, that I was like, that documentary would be fascinating.
Right. Because like, so like people died, people got sick. Like there was a lot of creepy shit that went on, man.
Yeah. And it's based on like a true story. Okay. Let's just get into
it. Okay. Do you want to start with the music or the zooms or the ridiculousness, the dramatic swell? Again, thank you, closed captions.
So right at the top, he says,
at the time I made the film The Exorcist, I had never seen an exorcism. More than four decades later, I witnessed the one you were about to see.
And apparently, exorcisms are all the rage in Italy.
There are more than 60 million people in Italy. According to two of the leading newspapers and the major television channel, 500,000 Italians see an exorcist every year.
Did I hear the statistic right? Over 500,000 exorcisms are done per year? Did you hear that too?
I did. That is right. And I actually went back to make sure that statistic was correct.
Come on.
But he also says, according to two newspapers and a TV show.
Okay. Thing. Come on.
The thing about Italy, guys, I was only there once for like 3 days. This reminded me so much of the Amanda Knox documentary where like the lead investigator, all of his principles were guided by his like Catholic faith. Like the Catholicism in Italy apparently is just like so much a part of the culture.
Oh, I mean, everything in Italy like as religious as it is old. Like
yeah.
It's just
yeah.
And it's like, you guys don't give this Pensavalle a bad name. You know what I'm saying?
So we learned that the exorcism that he saw was of this woman named Christina.
She's 46 years old and lives 200 miles southeast of Rome in a small mountain village. She's an architect, but can't work. She's said to be possessed by the devil.
She's an architect, but she can't really work.
Yeah, she apparently has been possessed by the devil.
No, I'm not laughing because I think that that's an impossibility.
Let's say for the record, we believe that possessions can actually happen.
Totally.
We are of that. We believe in this shit. We both have had paranormal experiences.
100%.
So we're not, that's not what is happening here.
Yeah, we're just laughing because this movie is bonkers.
So then we hear about this Father Amorth, who's the leading exorcist in Italy. Like Beetlejuice, like the leading bioexorcist.
Father Gabriella Amorth has been the exorcist for the Diocese of Rome for 31 years. He has exorcised Christina 8 times without success. This will be her 9th.
He's tried 8 times to get this stubborn demon out of Christina. This bitch isn't budging, man. This demon is staying exactly where the fuck it is, and it's in Christina.
That actually hurt my head.
This is another,
so
like, Father Mort's like, get out, and it's like, no, bitch. No,
it
bitch.
Gets a Galapagosian tortoise, no, bitch.
No, bitch.
No.
I'm staying right here. It's super cozy. I'm not moving. So you can keep exercising her, but it's not going to work. It'll be his 9th time exercising her. Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
So I already have, oh, God, he's going to talk about how he directed The Exorcist every single chance he gets, isn't he?
In the fall of 1972, I came to Georgetown, here in Washington, D.C., to film The Exorcist. The Exorcist is a novel by William Peter Blatty, inspired by an event that took place in 1949, when Blatty was an undergraduate here at Georgetown University.
Also, guys, I'm going to say it again.
What?
Plastic surgery on men is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This guy has got the Mary Steenburgen and erase face. Like, you can't even tell what he ever once looked like.
Right, and he's no spring chicken, as they say.
No.
It's like, girl, just age. There's aging gracefully and beautifully.
Exactly. Like, I am doing.
You just turned 21, girl. You look
exactly,
amazing.
Exactly. So now we get a tour of Georgetown. And actually, this shit was kind of interesting.
Of course.
Because he takes us to the house where The Exorcist was shot, and he gives us some, like, behind the scenes.
Now, the house doesn't look today the way it looked back in 1972. And that's because we had to build a false front from the end of this house to the end of the fence down there to bring the house closer to the steps.
I was like, you guys, this is the documentary I want to watch.
Right, but it's so funny because it's like, this is the exterior of the house we used to in the film The Exorcist, which I directed. And if it looks different to you, that's because we had to build a false front in 1972 when we filmed the movie called The Exorcist, which I directed. And in 1973, when The Exorcist came out, which I directed, it had the false front. And now it no longer has it because we filmed The Exorcist that I directed in 1972, and now it's 2018. That's the entire movie.
And so then we're on the campus of Georgetown, and we get introduced to William Peter Blatty, the guy who wrote the novel.
Right.
Guys, I'm not going to say it again. Plastic surgery on men is ridiculous.
I know.
All of these dudes with their erase faces.
I know. It's very alarming to me.
It's so weird.
Because you're just like, what? Oh, God. Like, so we hear from the author who wrote the book, The Exorcist. This is when he's saying, like, he tracked down the Jesuit priest who did the exorcism.
His name was Father William Bowdern. He was very eager to help me. And apparently a promise of absolute silence and confidentiality had been given to the family of the possessed boy. And he asked that be lifted because this was a very, very good cause. It was very apostolic work that was going to be done. And they went to the family, said no, they wanted no part of it. Now I was more convinced than ever, since they were not publicity mongers going on Geraldo, whatever, that this thing had substance to it.
Look, I went to a Jesuit high school. Apparently, one of the priests at my high school, Loyola, performed an exorcism and would not talk about it. One, because he wasn't allowed to, and two, he's like, I'm not going to fucking relive that shit. What are you, crazy?
And apparently, too, like, you mention the word demon and your body gets taken over by the devil. Like, I get it. Nobody wants to talk about it.
This is going to be a super fun recording.
The garbage belt just floats into the
air. It'll really be like Book when I summoned it, like in Hocus Pocus.
It's about to get haunted up in this
shit. It's true. This author is just like, look, I knew it was real. He knew the family wasn't lying because they weren't doing things like going on Geraldo.
Right.
That's what made him say, these people are legit because they're not going to be exploited by Geraldo. So this shit, this super traumatizing, horrifying thing must have happened to them. I'm going to force them to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Like, it makes him want to do it more, the fact that they don't want to talk about it.
Right. And they're basically like, please don't write about this case. The priest is like, girl, can you not? Please don't do it. I'm super scared about it.
And after pleading with me, please don't write about this case. Don't tell anything that I've told you. He said, one thing, however, I can tell you. The case in which I was involved was the real thing. I had no doubt about it then. I have no doubt about it now.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, now I'm totally writing a book. Yeah. And I'm going to make it a girl. And I'm going to totally change it and make it scarier and more dramatic than it actually was.
But you know what? That's what novels are for. Yeah. Good on you, Blatty.
Fine. Okay, so now we're on the steps, like the famous steps.
Georgetown.
At the end. William calls them. He's like, they're officially known as the Exorcist Steps. The Exorcist is a film I directed that came out in 1973.
These steps are just a few feet away from the house. They are now officially known as the Exorcist Steps. For me, the Steps and Georgetown are the spiritual home of the Exorcist.
The Exorcist Steps? Like, I know that's what they're called. Because what else are you going to... You know, the Exorcist Step, where the guy, killed himself. But, like, the Exorcist Steps. And then it's, like, next scene, he does that pan walk and talk. He's walking through a church. And he's like, I've always loved exorcisms. But I didn't have the desire to see and film one until 45 years after I directed a film called The Exorcist that was released in 1973.
I've always been fascinated by the nature of good and evil and the possibility of demonic possession.
Then he talks about how in Father Amorth's book, Father Amorth is like, The Exorcist is my favorite movie. And William goes,
of course.
I mean, of course. What? Well, I mean, I guess, of course.
No, I know.
He did say the special effects were over the top, though.
The other thing he says in this section is when he said, the opportunity to witness an exorcism came 45 years after I made the film. And he goes, and it was completely by accident. Or was it providence?
And then he looks around like, you're in a church. I don't understand.
I know.
What are you doing? Why are you doing this? So then it's like Father Amorth is super psyched to tell his story.
Yeah.
He became the chief exorcist in Rome in 1986.
I literally wrote down, I wonder what that like title looks like on a business card. What's the quickest way to freak out a new acquaintance?
Totally. And they say, this is again where it's like, you guys, the numbers just literally don't add up for me. He gets hundreds of letters per week from people who are possessed or know someone who's possessed. You think a demon's going to be like taking the night off and it's like, oh shit, let me write this letter. If you're possessed, the demon probably won't let you say,
right,
get this bitch out of me. The demon's like, girl, I'm on duty 100% of the time. I don't take days off.
Why are there so many people possessed in Italy?
I don't, because they believe in it.
Right, right.
You know, but I believe in it and I'm Italian and I'm not possessed. So, or am I? Or was it providence?
He performed his first exorcisms at the Cathedral of St. John Lateran, at the complex known as the Church of the Holy Staircase.
Okay, then we get to the Church of the Holy Staircase, and I'm like, another fucking staircase? I can't escape them.
You guys, this staircase is big. It's made of marble. Do not let Michael Peterson anywhere near that thing. He could do some real damage.
The Church of the Holy Staircase, and I'm like, not in Durham. It's weird. Like, Toto, we're not in Durham, North Carolina anymore.
These 28 marble steps, now covered in wood, are the steps that led up to Pontius Pilate's house. They were brought to Rome in the 4th century, and they can only be climbed on your knees.
This staircase used to lead to the office of Pontius Pilate?
Who he calls Pontius Pilate.
No, listen, I don't really know who that is. I know that person is from the Bible. All I know
he's
is...
He's a Jesus Christ superstar.
And
right? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's going to have to be the...
Jesus!
Yeah, let's, we just picked our palate cleanser.
I love when it just happens.
I know, me too.
It takes a lot of pressure off.
But like these stairs were moved from wherever Pontius Pilate lived, from his condo to...
With a view.
to Rome in the 4th century. Also, you can't walk on these stairs. You have to crawl up them.
All right.
Hands and knees. And I was thinking at the top of this staircase is where Dr. Amort goes to do in his early days to do his exorcisms.
Right.
And I was like, does this bitch have to get on his knees and crawl up the stairs to go to work every day? What, you're going out for lunch, you gotta crawl down the stairs, then crawl back up?
And Father,
is there a bathroom up there?
I mean, fingers crossed. And Father Amort is one of those people, and like, he's an old guy. He passes away by the end of this movie, spoiler. And I'm not being rude about it, but he seems like one of those people who's like always been an old and wise guy.
Yeah, totally.
So to me, even in 1986, I'm like, you're going to make this elderly person crawl up the stairs? How dare you?
Even Pontius Pilate is like, girl, get up and walk.
I mean, it's fine.
Exactly.
You're the guy we're all here to see. You're the star of the show. Give him one of those things where old people sit on the chair and go up the stairs. Like, and then I'm just thinking, like, oh, remember that shot in The Exorcist where she's crawling backwards upside down? Now the stairs!
I love old history shit. I love that.
Dude, same. Girl, it's same. Like, excuse me. I almost forgot where I was.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So here's the thing, you know, you and I are both very transparent people. We're very honest.
It's because I'm so thin. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean.
You can basically see through me.
Right. But also just a part of your character, aside from being thin.
Right.
But like, we're very transparent, like even in our podcasting, if we're like, hey, there's shit, like even on the Hamiltcast, I'm like, there's a siren outside, like, so sorry. Like,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that when I see it in other things.
Yes.
However, William does it in a way where it's kind of like, this is just wasting my time. And
This
movie is 1 hour and 9 minutes and it's about 1 hour too long.
Right.
But he's like, so I called Father and I was like, hey, can I film Christina's 9th exorcism? And Father was like, let me think about it. I'll call you back. And then he did. And then he called me and we planned. And then he was like, yeah, you can film it, but you can't have a crew or any lights. And in my head, I'm just like, we're never seeing this exorcism. That's what I thought. I thought it was going to be so sincere. Like, here's a reenactment. We'll get to a reenactment later.
Oh, he delivers on the reenactment.
But I seriously thought it was going to be one of those things where it's like, it's 1 hour and 9 minutes. It's all talk. It's all bullshit.
Right.
We're never going to see anything.
But the thing is, I was thinking, all he wanted to do was go like record an exorcism and put it on YouTube. Why did you have to make like, you know, another 56 minutes around that?
You guys, long shot is the new gold standard for documentaries.
But before witnessing Christina's exorcism, I met a woman who had been successfully exorcised by Father Amort. This is her story.
This shit is crazy.
It's crazy. This is all in Italian, so we can't play the audio.
It's her brother and her. This is what we hear.
Right. So this woman was suffering from what they're calling a spiritual disease, and she tells this story about how she was having these, quote, unusual symptoms during a mass, because it all comes out when you're, like, too close to religion. The demons, like, can't handle it.
Why would the demon let you take your body to church? That's my first question.
I haven't met... I'm going to tell the story, and then I can ask you a lot of questions, because I have a lot of logistical questions about demonic possession that I need answered. So she falls into a trance. She's shaking. She's crying. She's screaming like crazy. The police came, but wouldn't go inside because that's how terrifying the screams were.
You guys, the police, whose job it is to go into terrifying situations, refused to go in.
Nope. That was them. They would have been running out of the movie theater when The Exorcist with my parents.
I was like, hang on a second. Yeah. Welcome to Italy, where everybody is possessed and the fucking police are cowards.
Yeah, great. So then her body begins to, this is their words, you guys, begins to transform into something that was not human. And she started to slither around on the floor, speaking a strange language. And I'm like, hey, Harry Potter peeps. She's just speaking parcel tongue. It's really not a big deal. Harry Potter can do it. She's House Slytherin. Everyone chill the fuck out. Then the brother's like, she looked like a wild animal. Her belly was swollen like a balloon about to burst. Was she gonna like give, is this Rosemary's Baby now?
I know, I don't understand.
Oh my God. Her strength was not possible for a woman of her size and age. Can you just say person?
I know.
Do you have to make it, she's like a weak, stupid little woman?
Yeah. So then the woman is saying, after many episodes, my brother took me to Father Amort, to which I said, how many times
does she have to fall on the floor?
How many times does her belly have to explode to the point that it looks like an alien creature is going to come out?
Not even a full time. Right. Half the time. 5 minutes into it, I'm on the phone.
I wrote down here, I was like, Jillian, promise me that the first time that this happens to my body, you'll take me to the fucking exorcist.
I mean, the fact that you even have to say that to me is almost insulting.
Can you imagine?
Of course I would.
You're like, the brother's at her house for dinner on like a Wednesday.
Here
and
she
like,
goes again with the slithering on the floor. This one. God. Again with the belly.
You guys, it's serious, but it's not serious enough to call a priest. Not yet.
She's only speaking in a language she's never heard of before or has studied in any way, and we don't even know if it's real. Again with this one.
We know not to call the police. There'll be no help.
Yeah, can you keep it down? We're eating pasta over here. God. Then I'm like, wait, I'm sorry, what?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
First of all, she's like, Father Amorth was funny and ironic.
So, you guys.
A charismatic exorcist. That's
after, right. After like 4 or 5 times slithering around on the floor, she gets taken to the exorcist, who she's charmed by.
Which is like, you know, if he's going to try to keep you sane or in any way, like, oh, you're a little. Because instead of saying like, there's something wrong with you, he's like, hey, girl, I got this. Like,
but this is the beginning of my questions of like, I guess you're only possessed sometimes.
Right. Because then she goes, it took almost 8 months.
Right.
8 months. Like 8 months straight? Like,
I know.
Did he move in with her and it was every day for 8 months? Or was it like eight once a month? Like, I don't understand.
From what we see from the video that we see of this Christina person, it seems like you're only possessed when the devil feels like being a dick.
Right. And then he exorcises her 4 times.
Yeah.
And then it's finally over because he told her it was.
Right.
She goes, the minute he told me I was liberated, I felt a huge weight off me. Oh, okay.
So then he says to the brother, oh, are you possessed now?
Brother's like, I'm sorry, what?
Right, because he's thinking, the priest is like, sometimes when the demon leaves one body, it goes into the next. And I was thinking, if you're the brother, how fucking pissed would you be?
Yeah.
If you caught your sister's demon.
Yeah, and then the sister would be like, how about you slither around a couple times? And I'll call the priest when I get around to it. See how you like it.
But he's like, he gets a 15-minute exorcism. He's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, and then Father Amor told one of his most famous jokes.
Right, oh yeah.
Compared to what I usually deal with, you're bursting with health.
But it turns out Brother Paolo is like super fascinated by exorcisms.
I mean, wouldn't you be?
He just wants, now all of a sudden he's like Dr. whatever, Father Amort's assistant.
Yeah, and he's like recognizing people who need exorcisms, and that's how we get to know Christina.
Right.
Because she is doing basically the same thing that his sister was doing in mass, because she was getting like, she was having a strong reaction to all the God stuff in church.
It's so bizarre. And I mean, you would think that with like the 500,000 people a year that are possessed, this would happen in church all the time.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Also, this insane music, I can't.
I have the exact same note.
I can't.
I know.
Having moved from the Church of the Holy Staircase, Father Amort continued his work at his residence, the home of the Pauline priests, where on May 1st, 2016, he invited me to witness Christina's 9th exorcism.
William is invited to witness Christine's 9th exorcism. Also, she does not look possessed in any way. She's just sitting there. Just sitting there.
This is the most boring possessed person I've ever met.
So he asks these super leading questions. Do you think you're possessed? Have you gone to a therapist?
Right.
And then she says this thing about like how demons are can disguise themselves as mental health issues.
It's like, sweetheart, who told you this?
And I'm like, oh, that sucks.
You know that I have a real true theory that like exorcisms are just the Catholic Church's excuse for abusing women, like tying them to beds and beating them. And like, honestly, I feel there's a part where one of these women who had to be exorcised 9 times, that sister that was slithering around on the floor 2 weeks before her brother called the goddamn priest, had to be tied to a bed.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is not okay. Like, if exorcisms are going to be done like that, there needs to be some sort of goddamn oversight.
Well, the thing is, too, it's like, okay, so I was thinking one of my many questions, because there when we see Christina's exorcism, like, they are holding, it's like her dad and like her boyfriend are holding her down.
It's not as violent as you would imagine.
And I'm like, what if she just ran away? Like, where would the demon go? What does it want?
Okay, so it's the day of the exorcism, y'all.
Yeah.
And we're like, Father Amort is walking down the hallway. The music is out of control.
It's out of
control. It just gets worse and worse and worse. We open the door. We see this like red chair. Like, Christina's in the chair.
It's as big as this living. It's not a big space.
No, yeah.
And there are
my living room is plenty big, thank you.
It is. But with 30 people in there and me in a big red, I don't know why I'm the one getting exercised.
Oh, I do. What if this was a surprise exorcism?
Can you imagine,
Jillian,
like an intervention?
Everyone here loves you very much.
Why are you the only person here? Yeah, so there are just a zillion people in there. And then another hilarious thing, because he's like charming and disarming that
ridiculous.
He does.
Father Amort begins every exorcism by thumbing his nose at the devil.
And he actually does it.
And
he makes a face at Christina. I'm like, this woman is possessed. And you're going to be like making faces at her? Is that the safest thing to do?
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And now we're ready for Christina's exorcism.
In the room are Christina's family and other priests to assist Father Amort.
So, like, her entire family is there, and, like,
it's
this
really
exorcism
long.
Goes on for 10 minutes. And he's just, you know, doing all that, like, churchy shit where
he's
like,
basically like the power of Christ compels you-ing her.
Exactly. And like nothing's really happening, and then all of a sudden she like makes this crazy noise.
She starts to growl.
Yeah.
And it starts kind of slow.
Yeah.
And she's doing this thing where she's nodding and looking like she's in pain, and she's just, you can tell like, oh shit, something's happening here.
But like the whole time before she makes the noise, which we're going to get into in 1 second.
For 11 hours.
All I was thinking was like, if I'm Christina and I'm not actually possessed and my entire family has gathered for this moment and like the father is there, like this is some crucible shit. This is some like, oh God, I have to do something. Like she's rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
I have to make a noise. I have to do something. All these people are here. I've been telling everybody that I'm possessed. What am I going to do?
Yeah. And this is my 9th one. I really got to make this one count.
I know.
She's really got to sell it, man.
So then she fucking growls like an otherworldly banshee. Here's my question that gets me through the rest of this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's the real sound that came out of her?
No.
Okay, right?
Right.
Because you can see on the film that she is growling. She's mm-hmm. making sound.
Sure.
The sound we're hearing sounds out of a movie of an exorcism.
Uh-huh.
And the looks on everybody's face is not utter terror.
Yeah.
If she had been making that actual demon death noise, everybody in that room would be screaming and crying. It's fake. It has to be fake.
Yeah. I mean, unless at the same time, it's like, I'm just thinking like, well, if it was my ninth time watching this, I would also be like, I don't know if I'd be less terrified or more terrified that it's my fucking ninth time watching my girlfriend, my sister, my whatever.
Yeah.
Screaming like a demonic banshee.
Does that ever get old? Are you saying that there's a world in which that gets old?
I'm wondering. I don't know. I'll tell you after I witness my ninth exorcism.
What I am saying is that if what we're seeing is not really real, if like what we're hearing is not really real, this whole movie gets thrown out the window.
My issue with this whole thing is that it was never addressed.
Right.
He never said what you're about to hear is unaltered audio footage. Whether I believe that or not is a different story, but there was no attempt.
The fact that he didn't say it means that it was altered. Because it sounds so fake that you would have to say, no, guys, this is real.
And I was and I have to say, like, witnessing my first exorcism after directing The Exorcist 45 years ago.
Yeah. And he makes the mistake, too, of, like, there's more footage later from the same exorcism that is much more disturbing.
Yeah.
We don't see that until the end.
Yeah.
What we're seeing now just looks fake. It looks like she's trying to put on a show for her family, and he's added a soundtrack over the noises she was actually making, and it actually made me mad. I was like, I am wasting my time watching this.
Yeah.
If that noise really came out of her, she is definitely possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Are we trying to convince ourselves that it was fake?
I know that it was fake. There's no way that was real. What do you think?
Look, I get that Father Amor can't... he's a professional.
Yeah.
This is like another day at the office for him.
Right.
But if William, after all this time, and he has this connection, like, there was nothing from him
right.
that was like, you, like, let me... like, I need to talk to the camera about this.
Yeah.
Like, why was it that the documentary, one of those situations where it became about something else in the middle of it? Because
right.
what he saw and what he heard was unlike anything. Nothing could have prepared him for it. I didn't get any of that.
No,
and to me, like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, and like, because the sound was so supernatural sounding, one more time, I'm just going to say, you would have to say this is the real sound.
Yeah.
It really sounded like
you'd
this.
Have to. So she's screaming and crying, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we are armies, armies, armies. And then the subtitles cut out, which made me insane.
Yeah.
But then he just goes, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, enough.
Right.
And then it's just over.
Christina knows how to take direction.
And then she's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
was that all right? Do you want me to like really? And then he's just like, do you want water?
And she's smiling anything? And laughing.
And he's like, how do you feel? Are you still alive? And it went growling, growling, growling. And then she's like, oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
She's like Patty from The Staircase. Where am I? What happened? She's got no... And it's. Just, I was like, that's it?
But also, like, before the exorcism started, she was sitting there just normal and
right.
fine. Like, when you see the exorcist, she's tied to the bed. She's possessed 100% of the day. It's like Christina's mildly inconvenienced by the devil who, like, when he's in a fucking bad mood, decides he's going to, like, speak through her.
Right.
But it only happens for, like, 5 minutes a day.
Right. And not even, like, a low-level demon, like, the actual devil.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So now we get this litany of doctors. This is another place where this documentary takes such a dumb left turn. We're like, we get all these doctors that they're all these like neurosurgeons that he's trying to get to like say like, is there something wrong with her brain or is she really possessed by the devil? And all I have in my notes is like, why are those the only two options?
Right. No, totally.
Are you prepared to say that there's such a thing as exorcism and demonic possession? Here's the point.
Yeah.
You have to believe it in order to go through it.
People are very much context dependent. I mean, you probably will not have this in somebody who has no religious background.
Right.
Meaning that the religion that they absorb, you know, the themes that they absorb, you know, they obviously change their brain. So something is happening to her, it's clear. But maybe she puts into it the religious context in which she grew up. Because they believe, obviously, they know what's wrong with her. She's possessed by the devil.
The point of all of these doctors is that, like, yes, like, an exorcism will work for her if she believes she is possessed by the devil.
Exactly, of course.
But, like, the psychological factors do matter.
Right.
I believe that she's possessed by the devil, bitch? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Nobody gives an answer.
Right.
Nobody says yes or no. But they're all, you know, they're like the chair of neurosurgery at UCLA Medical Center. They're not some schlubs off the street.
I kept saying, why are you guys participating in this movie? And it's only because he's the director of The Exorcist. It's probably all of their favorite movies.
Of course.
You know? But, like, all of these doctors just being in this movie, it's so dumb. Why are you here?
Another question is, why does that one scientist have Band-Aids all over his face with no explanation? You got to explain the demonic voice, and you have to tell me why that guy has Band-Aids all over his face.
So he finally goes and sees, like, psychiatrists.
Right.
Who could, like, maybe address, like, whether or not she has, like, mental problems. But the thing was, all these big, old, important doctors are talking, and at the far end of the table, there's this queen, like, sipping a cup of Lipton tea, and I was like, hey, girl.
I have a patient right now on my unit who's similar to this in some ways. She says she's possessed by the devil. She speaks in a bizarre voice. She hasn't attacked anyone, but she comes from a religious background. And I could say what we're doing for her on the unit is we're treating it with medications, and we're giving her the psychotherapy, creating a safe environment. We've seen her before. This runs its course, and she gets better. And we don't take a position during the treatment on, is this really Satan bothering you, or is this you just really being tormented by your illness?
And he's the one who's like, look, give her meds, put her in therapy, bada bing, bada boom, she's done. She's cured. I don't know what to tell you.
She's like, we just didn't take an opinion.
Right.
Like, if she's possessed by the devil, we let her believe she's possessed by the devil.
Right.
We give her the meds. Yeah. Bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah.
You're cured.
Done. So then we're, like, back in the exorcism room, right?
Yeah.
They all start singing Happy Birthday because Father Amor turned 91 that day. Just a sensible exorcism for your nerve in the morning, and then, like, cake and coffee later on, biscotti. Right. Well, look, you know who's not who has no time for his shit is this, like, this younger priest.
The Archbishop from L.A.?
Yeah.
I've never met anyone that I would say, oh, that person needs to be exercised. I think that phenomenon exists. I think it's extremely rare, but I think it exists.
I loved this
guy. He's like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you I don't want any part of it. I didn't sign up for this.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of demonic possessions and exorcisms. That's not why I'm here. And William, like, refuses to handle that. He's like, why?
Speaking to the devil, I mean, heck, people like Father Amorth maybe can do that. I would never dare to do it. I'm not there spiritually. You know, I think that's a very dangerous thing.
What did you say?
I wouldn't do it. I'd be
afraid.
You
wouldn't do what?
Speak to the devil. I mean, if I
as in an exorcism.
I don't think I'd be any good at it. I wouldn't want to do it. And
why not?
I think it's dangerous ground. I think you got to be really holy.
It's in the scriptures.
I know, but Jesus doing it.
Jesus exorcised demons. Yeah,
absolutely, but that's why the church is really careful to choose very holy people. And Dominique
knows you're not.
Hey, I don't think I'm ready for that.
Yeah, and then he's like, it's a dicey business, getting, like, dancing with the devil. And William's like, the fact that he was so, like, you wouldn't?
I know,
I'm like,
I know.
William, girl, like, did you watch your own movie?
I know. All right, so now we're back to Christina's exorcism.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same day.
She's, like, relaxing, drinking her water.
Drinking her water.
Before everyone left, Christina's family asked for her father to be blessed by Father Amort.
So he comes up and he sits down and the dad starts doing the blessing. And the director just, like, has the camera on the dad.
Yeah.
And Christina's sitting right next to him, girl. Don't seat me next to the devil. Too close for comfort.
Well, she's been cured.
Exactly.
And then you just hear, like, rawr! Rawr!
It was a shocking moment. Christina was not cured.
You guys! The devil is coming out in her.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Father Amorth is like, bitch, I don't have time for you right now. Still calmly blessing the father. No one gives a shit that this bitch is back and louder than ever. No one gives a fuck. Bitch, I'm not worried about you right now. I'm blessing somebody.
So then her mother goes up to get a blessing from the father.
She's still growling.
So here's the thing. This is what I was trying to get at earlier, is that this footage of her is really believable. I'm not talking about the audio.
Uh-huh.
She really looks like she's suffering. She's growling. She's screaming. She's being held down by her boyfriend. it really looks believable. And then you're hearing this audio that sounds actually demonic.
Yeah.
And I was like, my whole point is I would have believed you just with the footage. But this, like, bullshit, like, demon voice that you're putting on makes the whole thing not believable.
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, you get the voiceover from William. When her mother sat down for a blessing, it only got worse. Where it's like, I can see that.
Yeah.
If you're trying to convince me a little too much,
you know? It's just that sound effect that just is like, no, none of this is real if that's the sound effect you're going to use.
But then the only thing he does, he's like, this is real. This is not like the movies. You know, like the movie I directed, The Exorcist.
This is an actual exorcism. It's different from all the movies. This is not fiction. It was harrowing to witness.
And suddenly it's over. But for how long? Right. I don't know, man.
Right, because it's actually true. Suddenly, all of a sudden, like the look goes away from her face and she's smiling, drinking water again.
And she's like, what happened?
I know.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is the real crime, this whole thing.
Yes.
Father Amort had taken sick and was in the hospital. But I made an appointment to meet with Christina in Rome to do a more in-depth interview with her.
She calls the line producer and reschedules the meeting to be in a small town 200 miles outside of Rome.
Alatri is an historic village perched on a hill overlooking distant mountains. The central part of the village is surrounded by massive Etruscan walls, pieced together without mortar, like a giant jigsaw puzzle.
The town is gorgeous, by the way.
It's this old, and they're going to like a 12th century basilica. It is so old and cool, and like the fact that those like stones are still there, it's mind-blowing.
It's amazing. It's so beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
We had to walk about a mile up to the top of a hill to the Acropolis where the meeting was to take place. Within it is the cathedral, considered a sacred place. We were to meet Christina in the park in front of the 12th century basilica.
We showed up on time, but Christina wasn't there. The producer calls her, and she's super pissed.
She answered quickly, sounding angry. "Where are you?" she screamed. "We're at the park," Francesco answered. "Where are you?" "I'm where I told you I'd be. At Santa Maria Maggiore, the church in the town square."
And the thing is, what William tells the story is like he's reading a children's book.
Right.
"Where are you?" she screamed. "We're at the park," Francesco answered. What? Are you talking about? Also, like, why is there no footage of this?
I know. You guys, there's no footage of him, of the producer on the phone. There's only old shots of this, like, beautiful old village.
There's no footage of them walking up a mile.
I know.
Walking up the stairs and being like, so we're here to... He did walk and talks for an hour and 9 minutes, and
exactly.
Now suddenly there's no walk and talk outside the basilica?
Exactly.
Give me a fucking break.
No, fuck. This did not happen. So then, like, she tells them to go to this other church.
Yeah, like, meet me inside the church.
You guys, at this point, this is where the director says this.
"I didn't take my camera inside. So this is my memory of what happened on July 4th, 2016, when Francesco and I entered the church."
bullshit, bullshit,
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, there's no way you didn't have your camera with you.
Especially after that bonker. If I'm going to believe anything, maybe you could get a little belief out of me that, okay, you just have, fine, you weren't rolling on the phone call. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But after a phone call like that, you get everything rolling.
I know, exactly.
Like, are you kidding me?
So he goes into the, you guys, this story is so outrageous and ridiculous.
It is, picture the worst, cheesiest, like not even A&E level monster show, like super cheesy reenactments, multiply it by a million.
Yeah. And he goes into this church and like encounters her. She's in peak demon, you guys.
Yeah.
It was freezing cold inside and we were trapped in a living nightmare. Christina was screaming. She slid around the floor in a cheap plastic chair, pulling her boyfriend Davide with her. He tried to hold her around the waist and throat. "Give us back your film," he shouted at me. "No, I want it shown," she screamed in the voice of the demon. I was terrified. Davide stared at me. "If you don't give it back to us, we'll kill you. We'll find your family and we'll kill you all."
Quick shots, old audio, where it's like he used the old audio from the exorcism.
Totally.
To like tell the stupid story where everything is like green and blue and zooming and colors,
yeah.
And like these quick cuts with the mute perfectly timed to the shitty music.
It's horrible.
So annoying. So then he's like, they ran away.
Yeah.
And didn't speak to each other for 30 minutes. The sweat and the fear were clinging to us. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you kidding me? So now, you know, Father Amorth, unfortunately, he dies before he can do her 10th exorcism.
Yeah.
And it's like a big deal. And now we're back on the famous exorcist steps, TM, TM, TM. And William can't get in touch with Christina, but she's still possessed and looking for help.
And then, you guys, it ends, had like the cheesiest.
Mike did a double take. He was like, that's what?
Okay. I know.
So he's like, it basically ends with like, I have no answers. We'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know anything. And then he goes,
we know there is evil. There is also good. And if there are demons, there must be angels.
And this stupid dramatic music swells up and then it's like, boom! And it's this like demonic image.
I know.
With this cheesy font of like, the devil and Father Amorth. And it's just, and I'm like, that is how it ends? With him being like, if there's bad in the world, there must be good in the world too. Like a decent ending message.
Exactly.
And then we just get hit with this stupid fucking title card. What a mess. What a mess this was.
It was really, really bad.
It was just awful.
Oh, girl, we got through it.
I mean,
what a bad movie.
I mean, just atrocious. I mean, really bad. Just truly objectively bad.
I know. So you guys, we're into like the super spooky Halloween documentary season.
Yes, where I live.
So from now until the end of October, all of the docs that we're doing are going to be like scary, ghosty, possession-y.
Yeah.
Ones.
So we got this one out of the way.
Yeah, thank God.
Ugh.
So the next up next is Hell House. There's been a lot of question about which Hell House it is.
Uh-huh.
It's the one from 2001, directed by George Ratliff. Which, Patreon family, that is literally the name of Margaret and Martha's birth father.
When did he die?
In the 80s. Yeah,
ago,
this
yeah.
is from 2001. But that's the one, it's the one about like the weird spiritual kids who put on like the horrible, awful haunted house every year.
To like scare people into being like fundamentalists,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
There's like the scary abortion room and all that stuff.
Yeah. You guys, don't forget to check out our Patreon. If you're not a member, get in there.
I mean,
we are doing it all.
It's so much fun.
So much fun. Staircase, Serial, all of our interviews, everything. Mm-hmm. It's just getting bigger and better every week.
Yeah, and the Jinx of Making a Murderer.
Coming up soon.
Come on, you guys.
Where can they find us?
We are at True Crime Obsessed on Twitter, and we are truecrimeobsessed.com, and you can get all the live show information and the Patreon stuff on our beautiful new website.
Where can they find you?
At Jillian with a G on all the things.
I'm at Patrick Hines on Twitter, at Patrick Hines _ on the Instagram. You guys, stay tuned for the preview for Hell House,
mm-hmm.
our hilarious outtakes.
TM, 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 TM.
This week, our palate cleanser is going to be from Jesus Christ Superstar because we mentioned Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Remember when he said Pontius Pilate?
I know.
Get a grip on yourself.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, we love you.
Bye, we love you, bye.
So what are our themes that we deal with in Hell House? We deal with family violence.
I want to die.
We deal with suicide. We deal with abortion. We deal with drugs. We deal with alcohol, drunkenness.
Welcome. Your journey has finally brought you to the place of eternal agony. Here you will be subjected to constant torture and everlasting pain. Come, let us meet those who have swallowed the poison of my life.
You can let her go first.
God, you did this to me.
What if I thought I was gay? What would you do then? Oh, you're going to hell, my son.
No.
We're competing for lost souls. It is a war. It is a battle. There's a competition. And there's a serious game where life and death is at stake. And we're going to win.
If you were to die tonight, do you know where you will go?
When the mother's getting her blessing, and now Christina's like really losing her shit, and Father Amorth is just no one's paying any attention.
No, bitch.
I just
he's literally like, not today, Satan. Not today. Girl, not today. It's my birthday.
But it's like, what gives him the power to get rid of Satan?
He is the world's leading bioexorcist next to Beetlejuice.
I know.
May I suggest for Columbus Day, I celebrate Columbo's Day on that day and Indigenous Peoples Day.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Chris Columbus. So I'm just gonna watch a lot of Columbo. I suggest you do the same.
You guys want to see some really jarring plastic surgery on men? Watch like the first episode of Will and Grace and watch like the new first episode of Will and Grace. Those men, girls, what did you do to your poor
beautiful faces?
But
remember that episode where Will gets Botox with Karen?
No.
Will gets Botox because he wants to wear like a shirt from Abercrombie or something. So Karen's like, come on, Wilma, like, let's go get Botox. And he can't move his face. And now I'm like, cut to the remake, the reboot of Will and Grace.
He looks good though.
Well, he got the Botox from Karen all those years ago.
Kept it tight.
Tell me what you think about your friends.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.